Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice tonight. God has sent for you once. God has sent for you twice and three times. Some of you God has sent for 30 and 40 times. But you stop your ears to the voice of God and you haven't listened to God. And let me tell you something. One of these times God's going to set fire to your barley seed. And there's only one way that God can get you to come. And that's to take something you dearly love.
You know how many times we get in this life to mess up on y'all? Oh, I know all righteous men will fall, but you get what, seven times, but you only going to die one time. You ain't going to get to come back and say, y'all, can I do this all over again because I done had a flame of hell on my ass. He ain't going to give you no second and third and fourth, fifth chances. You got one life and that's it. You better live it right.
Why should a sinner repent? Because God deserves the obedience and love that he has refused to give him. Why should a sinner give up all his sins? Why should he be challenged to do it? Why should he make restitution when he's coming to Christ? Because God deserves the obedience that he demands.
The only sin we living in is the past that should have been gone and done away with by the blood. That's why we sit here with a guilty mind and guilty conscience. I guess we're trying to say that, Father, I guess that Yahshua's blood wasn't strong enough or powerful enough to do away with my sin.
God don't delight in ripping you. God warns you. He said, if you don't confess your sins, then I burn your barley seed. God's extended the time again and again. You've laid on your bed at night and you've had God come and wake you up and say, seek my face, child. And you said, not tonight, but later on. Not tonight, but later on. Next week, God. Next month, God. Next year, God.
You got to get rid of the fear from the beginning and leave the worry. What do you think this walk is? This walk is about the warriors and getting rid of the fearful. Because the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, they're all going to have their part in the lake was burning with fire and brimstone.
Fire! The blood makes atonement for the soul.
God, if I've got anything of a life between me and you, God, help me to confess it and forsake it. God, search me. God, get everything out of the way.
All right, shalom, Israel. Shalom. Well, up front, hey, bless y'all. Good to have y'all in the room tonight. Those of you that are trickling in, filtering in, good to see you in the chat room. And those that are listening by their phones, blessings to y'all this day. Let me know I'm coming in. Hallelujah, Brother Scott, showing a 10 already. Glory to the King. Too loud, too soft, just right, huh? Hey, we got tens across the board, Brother Shane. We good to go. Hallelujah. Yeah, we love you all too. Blessings. All right, hey, it's a pleasure to host again this edition of Blog Talk Radio for the Saints and the Most High. It is a privilege and an honor is always to be able to speak to the saints, even though it is a fearful thing, and it should be, because, you know, we're accountable for what we put out there for the saints to hear. So yeah, thank you, Brother Steve, Sister Wenda. So it's always important to be careful of those things that we speak, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about myself because it's, you know, I really try to do due diligence and present something that is scripturally factual as I possibly can. And, you know, like all things, you may, you know, on occasion, I'm just going to miss the mark, unfortunately. But, hey, thank the Father for his grace and mercy and, you know, showing us the truth. And for the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us in the whole truth. I thank the Father for it. Anyway, again, it's a blessing to have you all in the room tonight. And, hey, I hope you enjoyed the weekend, especially the Shabbat and that sound word we had, as always. Submission, huh? What a word. In this generation, I mean, that's virtually unheard of. It's definitely not a learned behavior anymore or a practice behavior, especially considering the lifestyle. Now, other cultures, I'm sure, have a whole lot more in the way of submission or subjection, however you want it. But in the West, you can forget it. That's flunked out, failed, and gone. And we as Israelites, more so than ever, you know, definitely is something that is part of our culture and is commanded by the Most High. It's, you know, of course, showing our love for him and how we obey him, how we submit to his correction, instruction, and those things that make us for righteous people. Anyway, the topic for tonight is called Enemies of the State. I guess I could have called it Enemies of the Nation, but, I mean, the title is kind of catchy, so I kept it. But it kind of follows along a little bit about what Pastor talked about a couple weeks ago when he's talking about being perfect and going on to perfection and you know, dealing more in the line with the other nations and what they represent in the hindrance and the, you know, the possibility of falling back in a weak way and being, you know, tempted and snared in the ways of the other nations. And that's not the whole context, but it's pretty much a good deal of it. All right. Yes. All right. Let me see for one second here. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. With that, we're going to get started. Of course, my thanks again always for Brother Paul for doing his diligence and keeping us up with posting, whatever, you know, the Blog Talk co-host says, whatever scripture, definition, whatever it may be, or any information for the saints, especially the new saints, the guests that are in the room. That's always good. Now, hallelujah. Bless you, Brother Paul. And for all the saints, you've all, you know, are particular in the body. You know, everybody has a place, a need, a necessity. Hallelujah. Just make sure you keep that place and that necessity there. Hallelujah. All right. Enemies of the state. All right. Unlike natural unconverted man, the saints of the Most High are faced with enemies on two fronts. Those things which pertain to the natural and those things which pertain unto the spiritual. And both are there to tempt us and draw us away from under the hedge of protection we have promised in Yahweh. But as in all men, we are creatures of free will. And every day that Yah gives us, we will be faced with choices that either keep us safely abiding under the shadow of the Almighty or stomping around in the devil's playground. What we do know for certain is that we must fight to keep that which has been committed to us. That is our own being, our own self, for our own soul salvation. Hey, glory to the King, Brother Paul. Hey, you got Brown Driver Briggs. Well, hey, now if you can get a Thayer's too, man. Oh, you do. You got Thayer's. I'm sorry. Hey, glory to the King. Well, all right. Hey, we're stepping up. Anyway. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. And the Apostle Paul, Shaul, is writing to the church at Corinth. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. So this isn't an act of being inactive, of being lazy, being settled back on your leaves. It requires direct participation. It must require action. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible, because we know we have treasures that are being put up in heaven, not on this earth. The word mastery in this 25th verse that says, and every man that striveth for mastery or striveth for, it's the Greek 75, and this is the Thayer definition, Greek 75. Agonizomai, something like that. Anyway, that's close. Yeah, it's agony, agonize on something like that. Y'all will see the definition. And it means to enter contest, contend in gymnastic games. It means to contend with adversaries, to fight. So, and every man that striveth to contend with adversaries, to fight, is temperate in all things. It means metaphorically to contend, to struggle with difficulties and dangers, to endeavor with strenuous zeal, to strive to obtain something. So it's all about fighting. It's all about pushing forward. It's all about not being laid back or inactive. It's all about actually having to put your faith in exercise, okay? Because you are here to obtain something. It's a race. It's a race for your very life. All right, in verse 26, and therefore so run I therefore so run, excuse me, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth. So Paul knows that he knows what the end of this thing means. He knows what the end of the matter is. So he isn't just out here with any notion, just trying to go along to get along, making a mental ascent. He knows that this has a reason. This has a crown that is incorruptible that he's striving for. He's striving to make himself perfect and ready for the king. In verse 27, but this is how he does it. This is how Paul says that he is fighting for the mastery of these things, to be temperate, to run. He says, but I keep my under my body and bring it into subjection. That requires action, constant participation in what is going on in your own self-being. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Or whatever Paul is out there telling everybody else, either take heed to what he's saying and apply it to himself first and foremost. And he's telling everybody else that they need to keep their body in subjection, to remove themselves from wicked ways and sin, he the more. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Savior, says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. And of course, the broad way is a very spacious way. It seemingly doesn't have any borders or boundaries. It's pretty much wide open. Everything is presenting itself is all for the taking, okay? But it's going to have huge, dire consequences. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it. Very few. This is a tight race. Very few. Only one obtains the prize. And that one is going to be the body of Yahshua HaMashiach. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. 22 through 24. Paul says again in his writings, abstain from all appearance of evil. I mean, put it all away from in front of you, everything. And the very Yah of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, Yah, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. So again, Paul is emphasizing the fact that it isn't just about one area in our life, who we are as saints in the Most High. We have to actually sanctify completely our spirit man, our soul, and our body. The whole thing. The whole thing has to be preserved, blameless, and ready as an unspotted bride before the husband then returns. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1. Let me see, 1 through 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Yeshua HaMashiach, Master Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please Yah, so ye would abound more and more. So how you do what? Received of us how you... There's an example set before us by our pastors and our elders as how we ought to walk and to please Yah by the administration of the gifts of the Spirit and by the word of Yah. So ye would abound more and more, that you would actually grow by taking heed to those things spoken. For you know what commands we gave you by the Master Jesus. For this is the will of Yah, even your sanctification. This is Yah's will for you as his people, as his children, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And of course, it's not as the world deems fornication. Pastor just did a video here when he was in South Carolina about what is fornication. You can see by the comments that, you know, at least half the people who were on there gave that absolutely perverted Christian idea of what fornication is. But hey, Yah has brought us into his marvelous light, and these mysteries have been revealed unto us, and we thank him because we have his Ruach HaKodesh, and we know these things. He's been very merciful to us. That you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you, not just a few of you, not just the examples, not just, you know, those that have been in the structure, put in positions of power, those that are exemplary, it said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So when everybody's doing this as in one mind, one spirit, you can see the strength that, you know, it starts to provide a wall, a unity that Satan can't get past. That's the one thing he's always been trying to do, is divide and conquer, divide and conquer. That's what keeps us weak. But if we all know how to possess our vessels, if we all make a concerted effort to be sanctified and honored before the Most High, because in doing before him, you become honored before your brother. Okay, the word possess, and it was we used in the fourth verse, as we just read, as in that everyone should know how to possess his vessel, is the Greek 2932, again, the Thayer definition. It means to acquire, get, or procure a thing for oneself, so that everyone should know how to procure in his vessel, for go out and get these things for yourself, in the idea of fighting for it, for making it yours, because it's yours to take. And it also means to marry a wife, to possess. So when a husband marries a wife, he has ownership. He possesses his wife. All right, rolling right along. This is only going to be a one-hour study tonight, maybe a little bit over with the commercial break at the bottom of the hour, but glory to the King. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Luke 17, 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of Yah should come, he answered them and said, okay, this is Yahshua, this is Jesus talking to his Pharisees, all right? And they demanded, they wanted to know when the kingdom and the restored kingdom on this earth should come. And he said, Jesus said, the kingdom of Yah cometh not with observation, meaning you just can't literally see it come. And he said, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, it's not over, you know, in that war-torn country called Israel now. It's not, you know, the United States of America, absolutely not. It's not, you know, in any other place in the world. But he said, for behold, the kingdom of Yah is, it's within you. So this kingdom, this rule, this dominion, this rulership is all working within us. The things that are going to help cleanse our spirit, soul, and body, these things that we've been provided, because we have the kingdom of Yah, or his realm, or his rule, as disciples, children of Yah, working and abiding in us, in the inner man, the heart of the man. Okay, oh, I had the definition for kingdom, the Greek 932, it's the Thayer again. The kingdom means royal power, kingship, dominion, rule. So again, for behold, the rule of Yah, or the dominion of Ra, the kingship of Yah is within you. Not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. Of the royal power of Jesus, of the triumphant Messiah. of the royal power and dignity conferred on Christian. Oh my God, conferred on Christians in the Messiah's kingdom. This is even in the Thayer as well. They got some problems too, but hey, we'll work around them. The kingdom, the territory subject to the rule of the king. Used in the New Testament to refer to the reign of the Messiah. All right, hallelujah. Moving right along. Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 34. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. You hear that saying? It is our Father's, our Yah, our Elohim in heaven. It is our Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the one that is actually in you. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, and a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. The perfect banking system. Ain't nobody can touch your safety deposit box up there if you do these things which are necessary. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Yah wants to provide these for him. He wants, it's his pleasure. He really wants to give us the kingdom, the rule, the dominion, the spiritual authority of the kingdom. He wants to give these things to us, and he gives us the instruction. Man, forget the stuff of the world. You know, go ahead and be charitable. Trust in him in whatever you do. And then you're going to start laying up your treasures in heaven. Your focus and your idea should be on, the vision should be ahead, not on this present day. Because everything is about fighting and striving to enter in at the narrow gate. It's all about taking back, you know, that which we lost in the restoration of all things. And that includes us, you know, because we've been totally in captivity, beaten, bruised, abused, and didn't even know it. And then we come to the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and to the kingdom of Yah. Well, then we got a lot of work to do, and we're going to find out what that work is, as we already talked about some of it. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Romans 6, 11 through 16. And Paul says again, likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yah through Jesus Christ our Master. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members. Remember, you're supposed to be vessels of honor. You're supposed to possess your vessels in honor and in sanctity. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Yah. And those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Yah. For sin shall not have dominion over you, well, not if you're in the kingdom of heaven, not if you're walking in the glorious light of Yahshua HaMashiach. It will not have dominion because you have the kingdom of Yah is within you. It doesn't come by observation. It's already in. That is the thing that rules, that's going to stamp out sin. It's the same character and attributes of your Father. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace, Yah forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. I mean, this is definitely a spiritual law. And going back in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. All right, and Paul says again, all right, let me see. Where am I? Okay, I'm back. Sorry, I actually got misplaced here for a minute. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Flee fornication. Remember what it said again, that this is the will of Yah that you abstain from fornication? Here it is again, fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of Yah, and you are not your own? Man, you're no longer your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify Yah in your body and your spirit, which are Yah's, because you belong to him. So you go join yourself to the world or join yourself to the idols or anything else, you are actually committing fornication with something of another nation, whether it's spiritual, natural. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 John 2, 15 through 17. And we are chugging right along. Again, the words of John, the Apostle John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And of course, these are all the things of the world, the things that our flesh are familiar with, the things that, you know, we were surrounded by our entire lives. You know, if the devil's going to use one temptation that's going to draw us back into the sinful pleasures of the world, he's going to use this avenue. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So whoever you yield your servants to obey, his servants you are. So if we yield ourselves to obey the lust of our eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of the life, we automatically default to working for the devil, stomping in his playground. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of Yah abideth forever. You know, as it was stated earlier, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And the kingdom does not come with observation, but the kingdom which is in us. You know, we must continually fight what has been given us to keep out the enemies of the kingdom of Yah, which is in us. And we are all well able to go in and possess our kingdom because the Most High has given us to us all the weapons of our warfare in order to keep the enemy at bay and to overcome him. We can draw many things by reading the accounts of how our forefathers had to fight and war to possess and keep hold of the land of promise. Much in the same way, we must continue to fight the good fight of faith in order to maintain and keep hold of the kingdom of promise which was granted us when the Messiah fought for us and brought us to himself, where we became his. All right, Leviticus chapter 20, verses 22 through 24, going into more of a, kind of more of a spiritual type, not a natural so much as a spiritual type of understanding about what it's going to take to possess ourselves, our whole spirit, soul, and body, that, you know, our temple, our ground. Jesus said that in Matthew 13 that, you know, the sower went forth to sow, he sowed a seed on a ground, which, of course, he's referring to the people, us. And it all depends on how that seed fell, coming through our ears, registering in our minds, our brains, how we dealt with it, how we received it as truth, how we acted on it, you know, how that seed became whatever it became. Leviticus 20, verses 22 through 24. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they have committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am Yahweh the Elohim, which have separated you from other people. You know, shouldn't we all be striving and fighting to take our land back, our land, our bodies, our temples, from the land of the enemy, a land of milk and honey, you know, the kingdom of heaven, which is in us, a land of peace, you know, of rest, contentment, bliss. We are fighting to remove all the enemies out of our land, out of our beings, whatever. Demonic spirits may remain there as squatters, as trespassers in a house that they don't belong in. And these are all things that we have to fight to eliminate, to remove, so we become perfect before our Yah. You know, we have to possess our vessels. That was the command. Know how to possess your vessels. We have the weapons of our war. We do know how to do it. Throughout the inhabitants of this land, This is your property. These demonic spirits, these wicked ways, these are all squatters. These are all trespassers. They need to go. We have the marching orders and the authority to cast them out. And we're going to show clearly why we have this authority. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. So four verses. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and to what cities we shall come. And again, this is by somebody that's supposed to be of sound report, like us again. We have pastors that stand in front of us and ministering brethren and elders that, you know, by the word of Yah, give us the way that we must go up to do what? To defeat our enemy, to take the good ground, the pleasant land, those things that are promised to us. And saying, please be, okay, verse 23, and the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. Now, this is Moshe recounting back in Deuteronomy how it was at the beginning of the 40-year wilderness excursion. And they turned and went up to the mountain, came into the valley of Eshcol, and it searched it out. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands, so they tasted. Oh, taste and see what is good of the Most High. Okay, they tasted the heavenly gift and tasted of the power of the Holy Spirit and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which Yahweh the Elohim does give us. I mean, it's there for the taking. It's ours. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. As it said, oh, taste and see that Yah is good. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As we said, he wants to give you that good land. He wants you to be perfect in your vessel. He wants you to be honorable before him and before his brethren. All right. And I'm sorry, I apologize earlier. It was actually verse going down to verse 30, Brother Paul. Brother Ugly, back down to verse 30 for Deuteronomy 1, all the way to verse 30. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of Yahweh the Elohim. I mean, this is the commandment. Go up, take what is yours, has been promised to you, given to you by right, because I'm there with you. And I guess we're going to get into this too right here in the next two verses. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Most High hated us. He has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us under the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Wow, he brought us, you know, in a place where we can actually, you know, gain the more, we can put up treasures in heaven. And, oh, my God. Now, that's a messed up mindset. But here is the real kicker. Whither shall we go up? I mean, how are we going to accomplish this thing? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. Oh, my God, here comes the viper in now. You're trying to take back your ground. You're trying to do what that is right, to be holy before your Most High, to be perfected. And you got some wicked spirit working through somebody else back there, discouraging your heart, keeping you from taking the promised land, saying the people is greater and taller than we, man, this big spiritual mountain, man, you got, you know, whatever the case may be, the cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there, you know. And again, this should tell you, again, to stay away from negative, pessimistic people. These are your adversaries. These are the ones will keep you from going after the good ground, from actually perfecting ground, from, as we're going to see, to clear out the wicked inhabitants out of the land, out of us. The same spirits of doubt, the same spirits of uncertainty, and the woe is me attitude that is working in them are seeking entrance into your land, into your vessel, into your temple. That all hope is lost mentality, man, that we just can't do it, that we're in a dire situation, I can't continue on. So, you know, that we can't do this defeatism, you know, and that drives me. I can't do it. I can't, you know, that's that. When I first come to the ministry, they used to call it the Cain spirit, the I can't, I cannot, the Cain spirit. You know, stay away from that. That it's all about faith. It's all about not a negative idea of anything. It's about being a positive, knowing who you are, who you trust in, that's going to get you there. They are being used. These people are being used of Satan to discourage and hinder you, your forward progress in this one-time race. The one and only one-time race, because we can't go back and restart this again if we trip. You know, trip, fall, get back up, whatever the case is. But if you skip off the track and going to go sit down and take a water break, well, the race may be over before you get back in it. So keep pushing. All right, verse 29. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Man, that's everybody else trying to discourage you. Don't be afraid of them spirits that are speaking into your ears. For Yahweh the Elohim, which go before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. When he brought you out of bondage, he fought for you. He did the same thing. He delivered you from the hand of Satan while you were in slavery in your spiritual man, in your mind. And then he fought for you. He brought you out. So the Father is always there. He's always our hedge, always our protection. All right, let me see. We got to get Sister Wenda's break in here, for especially the new saints that may be listening. We have a few guests in the room, so we're going to go ahead and do that if I can see the thing. All right here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Yes, the King is coming. Our King is coming. Our soon coming King. Hallelujah. All right, back at it. We got a few more pages. We should probably will finish before the top of the hour. We'll find out. Whatever we go over, we go over. All right, going right back into it. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, verses 25 through. Let me see if I can get it right this time for you, Bro Ugly. Verse 25 to 33. Again, talking about, you know, how to possess our vessels, actually fighting for that which is ours, because we have the kingdom of heaven in our within us. It doesn't come with observation; it's already there. That rule of dominion. We have the weapons of warfare, everything at our disposal to go on to perfection. You know, we hear the word continually. We have the power and authority in the name of Jesus to cast out devils, to heal the sick, all the things that, you know, is bringing this body, making it the promised land, making it spotless before our soon coming King, Yahshua HaMashiach. All right, starting verse 25. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth milk and honey, and this is the fruit of man. We got the proof again. Look at it. It's right in front of us. Look at this treasure. You know, this beautiful thing that we have in front of us, this thing that we've been striving for and that been promised to us. You know, it's right in front of us. Look, here it is. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. Okay, so we have this great thing in front of us, and again, here comes the it's so good and everything looks so promising, but the big but, you know, the big buts come in. But this, nevertheless, the people be strong in the land, dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And more, we saw the children Anak there, and the Amalekites. But the whole time, knowing that the Father had been promising the land when he made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, man, when he said way back then, this land is given to you. He already told them it was theirs. You know, in 13, Genesis 13, he told Abraham, I will give it to you. But in the 15th verse, when he made the covenant, he said, I have given this to you. It's already belonged to you. You already promised. This is yours. You just got to take it. You got to take it by force, you know. The kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. Get mad. You'll stomp on the back of the devil's head for once in a while. Take some, you know, because you have authority in the name of Jesus. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. Man, we're surrounded by Ebenezer on every front. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. If you're going to send somebody out the scouting mission, you're going to have to know them by the Spirit, because you don't want them to come back and bring this report. Oh, my goodness. All right, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, man, now here we got somebody with a positive attitude. He knows how to possess his vessel. He knows what he's got. He knows who he's representing. He knows who's fighting for him. It's his Messiah. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Come on, let's go up. We're going to kick some ass. We're going to throw him out of this country. This is ours. This is mine for the taking, because I've been promised to it. Damn it, I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. But the men that went up with him said, oh boy, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. The voice of the devil again, the voice of the adversary. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Man, come on, you got these spirits working in you. You got these, you know, these whatever, if it's a principality, if it's a strong man. Okay, don't let, you know, you can't let these giants, because they believe they're giants, they want you to make you believe that they're immovable, but they're not, because Jesus gave us that authority in his name to cast out devils. All these things. I mean, cleanse the land. That's the command. Get in there and remove some of these squatters. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight, because the Father chose us. We were just a small people. I mean, he did that for a reason. We were the least of all people. And he's going to show how powerful a nation we are through him as a small people. Few that be there find it, that straightway. Be sober. Okay, let me see. That was Numbers 13:33. That was him. All right, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. All right, be sober, be vigilant, be paying attention, have your discerning on, have your ears open, your eyes open. Be ready at all times, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's his whole conquest. And his bullseye is not on everybody else. It's on the true Israelites, the true Hebrew Israelites, the true sons of Yah. He isn't focused on everybody else, because quite obviously, he already has them. They're not a problem. They're not a threat, you know, but we're looking to remove him, Satan, and his demons out of our land, and he's looking to prevent us from doing that by throwing stuff in front of us, by presenting stuff that's, immovable, formidable things that just stifle us and hold us back. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith? That's how we resist it. Resist the devil. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Yeah, we're all in this again together, aren't we, huh? All pressing forward, all going in the same, supposed to be all going in the same direction, unless somebody jumped carnal, and then we got trouble. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. Deuteronomy 3, 18 through 22. And I commanded you at that time, saying, Yahweh the Elohim hath given you this land to possess it. I mean, it's yours. This temple of the Holy Spirit, it belongs to you. This is where Yah yells, dwells. This is his promised land. This is your promised land. He gave it to you to possess it, possess your vessels in sanctification and honor. You shall pass over armed before your brethren. Hey, we got the weapons of warfare, man. These are the conquerors, the warriors amongst Israel. We're going to go through, and we're going to show you what it takes to get to perfection. The children of Israel, all that are meet for war. You know, this is how we defeat the enemy. We defeat him during deliverance. We defeat him joining ourselves and aligning ourselves with our brethren to attack the enemy that hides within. Again, being in one accord, in one judgment, in one speech, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter of 10th verse. Verse 19, but your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that you have much cattle, shall abide in your cities, which I have given you, until the Most High have given you rest unto your brethren, meaning that's not a one-time thing. Until, you know, we read in Hebrews chapter 4, there's a day of rest coming. I mean, this is a continual fight, always against the enemy until we get there. Has given you rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which Yahweh the Elohim. See, it's all about everybody joining together. Not only us getting there first, but it's everybody becoming behind us until they also possess the land which Yahweh the Elohim hath given them beyond Jordan. And then shall you return every man into his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, then thine eyes have seen all that Yahweh had done, Yahweh Elohim have done unto these two kings. So I think they're the two kings of the Amorites. I don't remember. So shall the Most High do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. You shall not fear them, for Yahweh Elohim, he shall fight for you. All right, Numbers chapter 33, verses 50 through 56. Numbers chapter 33, 50 through 56. Where are my water? All right. And Yahweh spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan. Okay, what's going to happen? Once you know you're coming to that promised land, there's something that you have to do, though. This is my command, as within our vessels, in order to possess our land. Yah is telling Israel in the natural, when you go over to Jordan in the land that I promised, this is what you got to do. Then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy everything, all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images. Reminds me of what Brother Scott talked about in scripture study in Ezekiel chapter 8, the imageries on their mind. And destroy all these carved images, these molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places, everything. That's about driving the inhabitants out of the land, removing them from out of us, destroying every one of these things that were part of the nations that was in us before we became saints in the Most High. And you shall deep dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. You're going to go in there and kick their ass. For I have given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by a lot for inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot fall. According to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit. And of course, we all have inheritance coming, don't we? Oh, but here's the warning. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Man, if you refuse to go after the demonic spirits that torment you, that drive you, that have a constant plaguing in your mind, that because the heart knows its own bitterness. We know the things that drive us, the things that hold us back. And if we don't go after these things to drive them out of our own land, from out of these vessels, from out of our holy temple where Yah dwells, I mean, these things are going to be continually pricks in our eyes, thorns in our sides, vexation of spirits. So, but of course, we have the power because we've already been read and been told that Yah is with us. He goes before us. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Now, here's another one. If you're not going to be willing to actually do some warfare and drive these inhabitants out, man, as you thought to do to them, it's just a thought, but you really didn't. Okay, I'm going to do this right back on you because basically just open up the floodgate for these spirits because you're inactive. If we lack the fortitude, be propelled, to be pushed, to be whatever, and just are settled back. And then, of course, idle mind is the devil's playground. So, it's not a passive effort. It's a progressive forward effort. Joshua chapter 23, verses 6 through 8. No, let me see. Ooh, it's more than that. All right. 23, verses 6 through 16. All right. Okay. This is Joshua, Hoshea, talking to the people. After the other side, they've already got into the land. They have their possession now. But here he's going to give them a little bit of a pep speech, so to speak. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Man, you stay on that straight and narrow because straight is the gate, straight is the way. That you come not among these nations. Don't go back to the stuff that you were just delivered from. These that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them nor bow yourself unto them. We can look at this both spiritually and naturally, of course. But cleave unto Yahweh the Elohim. Again, submit yourself to Yah and the devil will flee. Cleave unto him as you have done unto this day. This is the same Elohim which brought us out of the land of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. This one you cleave unto. For Yahweh have driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. And of course, that is what Yah said. He made us the head and not the tail. So we have the strength all in Yahshua HaMashiach and amongst each other's brethren, encouraging each other, fighting for each other, pushing in the same direction. Verse 10, one man of you shall chase 1,000 for Yahweh the Elohim. It is he that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Verse 11, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Pay attention, be sober, be discerning, that you love Yahweh the Elohim. Don't let yourself go back and start serving the other nation. Be slack in the land that you're in, because it's constantly a fight. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, the old ways, the old path, the old man, even these that remain among you and shall make marriages with them. Oh, they're going to fornicate with them and go in unto them and they to you. Know for certain that Yahweh Elohim will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But again, they will be and they shall be snares and traps unto you and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off the land which Yahweh your Elohim have given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which Yahweh the Elohim spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed. All the promises that Yah made to the children of Israel, to the righteous that actually came through and did what was required of them, all these promises actually came in the fulfillment because they marched on by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. They didn't let the mountains, the adversaries, the annex, the giants, the inhabitants of the land, the demonic spirits, anything prevent them. They knew they had the promise they were going to finish this race and obtain that prize, and of course the crown of life, which we're going to give back, glory to the King. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all these good things are come upon, oh, I read that verse, 16, when you have transgressed the covenant of Yahweh Elohim, which he hath commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of Yah be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Kind of like what it says in Hebrews, I think chapter 6, where it had been better for them to have never known the way than to have known it and turned from it. I got a little choked up there. All right, hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28 through 32. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28 through 32. And again, this is Moses speaking. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well. How much word do we hear here? Brother, we were talking at the elders' table yesterday after Shabbat, you know, down there for dinner and the Sabbath meal. And Brother Shane says alone on Blog Talk that this ministry is clocked, I think, 1,800 and some odd hours of just on Blog Talk Radio, for Pete's sake. Think of that, 1,800 hours. I mean, how many weeks would it take somebody, you know, 24/7 just to get through that? I'm sure somebody can do the math. But anyway, that just shows you just in one small aspect how much. And then if you actually look at the big picture, you know, pastor, since y'all called him to start, you know, preaching and teaching among the people, I mean, he's got innumerable hours. I mean, literally, he's probably approaching a million hours for all I know. Who knows? I mean, it goes back so long. But again, we have these words. We get to hear all these words, everything continually, you know, recited in our ears and strengthened and brought to a more light and a greater fullness as we go on forward. Let me see. Which thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of Yahweh the Elohim. When Yahweh the Elohim shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their lands, take heed to thyself that thou not be snared by following them. After that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations, you know, the curious arts, the, you know, going looking for the Gnosticism, you know, and trying to gain much of this esoteric knowledge and all the stuff that you should be staying away from. Stick with the book, you'll be okay. Even so will I do likewise. I mean, kind of the Bible says study and show yourself approved unto Yah. Okay, I understand that, but be careful what you put your eyes on to. I mean, I know that, you know, some brethren, they have no problem looking at certain things, and I hear of it, and I'm like, ain't no way I'd flip a page in that book, so it's just not for me. It's just not, hey, if they got the strength, that's fine. But, no, it just being honest, it's just the way it is. Thou shalt not do so unto Yahweh the Elohim, for every abomination to the Most High, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even the sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. You know, all these abominable things. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, that shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. He gave us a simple game plan. He gave us his word. Just don't go to the left or the right. Just observe to do it. Don't add anything to it or take anything away from it or try to diminish the importance of it. Just march on to victory. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 4 through 8. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 4 through 8. Again, talking a little bit more about having, knowing the way, being promised of the good life, so to speak, you know, abounding in peace and love and joy and happiness and all the fruits of the Spirit, everything that is afforded to us and promised to us if we walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, if we know how to possess our vessels. But things happen when we go back and start yielding our members, servants to obey the old way. Okay, verse 4, wilt thou judge them, son of man, wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Well, why? Why do we need to know? Because we're supposed to take heed that we don't be snared. All right, so we need to know what happened in the history of the people before us. And say unto them, recent history, just think back to the last Passover or the one before that, and how many have gone and been snared because they didn't take heed. And say unto them, thus say Yahweh the Elohim, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and I made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, like he made himself known unto us in the land of our Egypt, in the land of our captivity, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yahweh the Elohim, when he revealed himself to us. In that day, in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt from bondage into a land that I had espied for them, one that I saw was perfectly suitable to bring them to, this kingdom that's within us, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. It's a testimony against all the other nations. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every... Here's the command. I said unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of eyes. This is why they were, you know, talking about our people in, of course, when they were in Egypt, they were still in Goshen. They were doing well. They were living good. They had the best of everything, you know, and they were being profitable in front of the Egyptians. I think I was reading the other day that they even said that Joseph was a father unto Pharaoh. I mean, he taught, even though he was second in command, he had this type of authority. And, of course, Joseph was in that position. We know that. And the people were our forefathers were very well treated, and they did very well. But something happened. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt, or that nation, that other nation, the one that, you know, that you're in right now, but I'm bringing you out of into this better place. I am Yahweh their Elohim. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not, every man, cast away the abomination of his eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Now it said not every man. That means that there was a select few. There was a good group of them that didn't. Some of them probably held to righteousness and held to a forward, you know, observing, honoring the Most High, having reverence for him. But not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. So while they were in bondage yet, they got lumped on. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3-5. And, of course, there's payment for this. Thou shalt have no other yahs before Els before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So, you know, we're just talking about that he's promised us a beautiful place. Of course, we're talking about Shemayin, and then, of course, we know the meek are going to inherit the earth after Yah, of course, wipes it out in the end here. But we're possessing, taking back our lands. We're perfecting ourselves. He's warning us not to go back. But, of course, there's consequences not only to us, but, of course, in Exodus chapter 20. So we have to think more than just about ourselves. Of course, we only save ourselves but our own righteousness. But, man, if you love your children, if you love your brothers, your sisters, you know, don't give them a bad report, a false report. And especially those of your own family, because here's what happens. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, any of the gods or the elves of the other nations, the old ways, the old paths, the old things that we saw that we were delivered from, the old things that we heard that we were delivered from, that we were cleansed from, nor serve them, for I, Yahweh the Elohim, am a jealous Yah, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So you take heed to what you do, and what, because you don't want to pass these things on. And showing mercy unto thousands that love me and keep my commandments. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 6 through 8. Leviticus 26, 6 through 8. Hang on 1 minute here. All right, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Man, there's the confidence and boldness that we have to go forward in the Most High. And I will rid evil beasts out of your land. Hey, here comes deliverance. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Our enemies are going to have nothing against us. You know, and of course, Yah promised that after all this, he's going to wipe away all tears from before eyes in the new kingdom. Verse 7, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. We already have that in us, you know. That's already there. That's how we get our peace in the land, because we go after these wicked squatters, these wicked inhabitants, these trespassers that are on there. This is our property, our ground. You take the sword to them, chase them, get them out, and then you're going to have peace in the land. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. You know, a lot of times that's why we have a couple, two or three brothers or sisters praying with the one that's getting prayed for in deliverance, because there's strength. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 38 through 42. 2 Samuel 22, 38 through 42. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them and turned not again until I had consumed them. I mean, this is somebody. Now you talk about somebody that's got it all from the enemy, man. This is total annihilation. And I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise. They are fallen under my feet. The same attitude that any of the saints of the Most High must possess. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Again, who's providing the weapons of our warfare? The Most High. For thou hast girded me with strength of battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the neck of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. And boy, the devil hates everything to do with us, doesn't he? Everything. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto Yahweh, but he answered them not. Talking about the enemies, they didn't have anything. There was nothing to look to. No help. Their commander-in-chief, Satan, couldn't do nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 12 through 15. But what I do, that I will do, okay, that this is a purposeful act, that I might cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets. They're going to glory in their own ways. You know, again, these are going back to these people that bring false reports, that bring up false doctrines, the ones that, you know, like Paul said, they may be found even as we, okay? And they're in the land, and we sent out our spies. You know, we know that the book says that we can do this thing, and then we have these false apostles, these deceitful workers. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, meaning that they're with us, but they're not of us, but they're in the midst of the body. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works, and that will be destruction. All right, my brothers and sisters, that is the end of this study. Entitled The Enemy of the State. I sure hope that it was able to edify you, and that it actually made some sense about, you know, we're coming into the Feast of Tabernacles, a time of rejoicing, and that's great, but even the time of rejoicing, we need to be sober and aware, always looking at the enemy some way, shape, or form, might be trying to get an advantage of us, but it is up to us as warriors, as soldiers, you know, even though we're pilgrims in the land, that we fight the good fight of faith, taking back our, you know, our spiritual ground, whatever cost, because when it's over, it's over. So keep fighting that good fight of faith. Hey, I appreciate y'all joining in tonight. It's been a real privilege, my privilege and honor, for you having y'all in the room tonight and listening by phone. And, of course, you know, if you're coming to Tabernacles, we've said it 1,000 times, but we'll say it again. You know, you make sure you get your all your ducks in orders and, you know, have yourself fully prepared. It promises that I hope it don't promise. Let me restate that. It could be, you know, a little bit on the cold side, so make preparations there. We're going to have a joyous time. You know, we're making the preparation here. So, you know, pray for our strength here as we try to get things ready. And as always, you know, everyone that they lift up a prayer for the man of Yah, for Pastor Dow, you know, about all the things that he's got going on in front of him, all the things that he's trying to, you know, make necessary preparations, not only to feed us with the word, but to get the direction, things getting ready for here for the coming of the saints. And of course, for all that our pastors in the ministry here, you know, you all know that they love us, and in turn that we definitely show our love and appreciation to them, not only by how we submit ourselves to them or into one to another, but just being grateful and thankful. Yes, remember, lift up Sister Carol and Mother Beasley as well, as Brother Paul puts in there. That's good. And it's been a real blessing to have y'all. And I'll see you again, Yah willing, I believe in about 4 weeks. And I think Brother Shane is up next first day night. All right. With all that, y'all be blessed. Hey, Shalom. King is coming.